And now we continue our mini-series on the shoulders of giants, in which Mooney Goes Wild reporter and biologist Terry Flanagan highlights some of the wide-ranging research currently being carried out here in Ireland. It's estimated that we have about 7,000 full-time PhD students, with a further 1,000 doing master's degrees. No doubt each of them are standing on the shoulders of giants, using the understanding gained by major thinkers from the past to make intellectual progress into the future. The conservation of rare species comes with great challenges, and no more so than those associated with the efforts needed to save one of Ireland's rarest species, the great yellow bumblebee. Once widespread throughout the country, there now only remains a single population on the Mullet Peninsula in County Mayo. Niamh Phelan from UCD's School of Agriculture has been studying this bumblebee for some time now, and the aim of her project is to provide more detailed information on its ecology by identifying the habitat, land use and the flowering plant species which it favours.
So, Niamh, this is typical bumblebee country. Tell us, where are we, and paint a picture.
So we're in County Mayo in Tairmancara Reserve, that is managed by Birdwatch Ireland. So it's nice, open, extensive grassland with red clover, white clover, knapweed and birdsfoot trefoil.
People would say they're all weeds, that should be all cut down.
No, that's a food source for bumblebees.
Okay, tell us a little bit about bumblebees, because people would mix them up with ordinary honeybees.
Yes, yeah, so we have one species of honeybee and then we have 21 species of bumblebee, and they're divided into true bumblebees and cuckoo bumblebees.
And what's the difference?
True bumblebees are the ones that do pollination, and cuckoo bumblebees actually take over true bumblebees' nests like the cuckoo bird.
Right, so it's a kind of a parasite.
Yeah.
We're looking at that. You can certainly see a honeybee there, and there was one bumblebee, but he's since gone. But you're studying a particular bumblebee. Which one are you studying?
So I'm studying the great yellow bumblebee, or known as Bombus distingentus, and it's only found up in Belmullet Peninsula.
It's the rarest bumblebee in Ireland?
Yeah, and also the rarest in Scotland as well. There's a couple of different theories on why the great yellow is so rare. The main one is the intensification of agriculture and the loss of flower-rich grasslands, and specifically around cutting for silage in June.
So this is why it's so important to leave the wildflowers, like we're seeing here, the clovers, the red clovers and the white clovers.
Exactly, yeah.
Was this bumblebee ever in any other parts of the country, in Dublin, anywhere like that?
Yeah, so it was kind of found in isolated patches throughout Ireland, and then it started to move westward and then move upwards, and now is only found on the Mullet.
And how long has that been happening for?
Since about the 1920s, when records really started on bumblebees.
And what can be done for them?
Really, what's great for bumblebees is providing areas that they can forage in, so having the wildflower areas for them.
Now, tell us a little bit about your thesis.
So my thesis is trying to identify the habitat and floral associations of the great yellow bumblebee in hopes to put in a conservation plan along with Mayo County Council and Belmullet Tidy Towns.
So you're moving between Dublin and Mayo all the time, is that right?
Yeah.
And it's a master's that you're working on?
Yeah.
And do you think you could kind of incorporate it into a PhD?
There's definitely potential there for a PhD, and I'm hoping to continue research into the future.
And what do you think, from a practical level, people can do?
Practical level is really let your areas grow wild, provide habitats for bumblebees. You can also try to build small little nesting sites for them as well. There's great videos on YouTube on how to do that.
Tell us a little bit about the bumblebee then. Its life cycle, for instance.
The life cycle of the great yellow isn't specifically known, but overall, bumblebees kind of emerge in May, June. Just the queen, and the queen will look for a nest. At that time, you'll see them flying really close to the ground, back and forth and back and forth, and they're trying to inspect nests.
Now, do they build a nest or take over a nest?
Build a nest.
And do they use the same nest year in, year out, or do they rebuild them?
No, they choose a new nest every year.
And where do they build?
So it'll depend on species. Some of them like nesting in underground. And for my bumblebee, what is known is that they like nesting in earthen walls, so stone walls that have been covered over in soil and vegetation.
And within the nest, how many would you get? Because I know, for instance, in a honeybee nest, you could have 50,000.
Yeah, so it'll depend again on species. It could be kind of 30 up to 60 to 80.
Right, tell us a little bit about your bumblebee.
My bumblebee is bright yellow with a black stripe across its back, and it has a characteristically low buzz compared to other bumblebees, so I actually hear it before you can see it sometimes. You can hear it coming.
And around here in this particular area, are there many of them? Are there many nests?
Yeah, there's a good few nests. So on average, over the summer, you'll see about 60.
Unlike birds, you can't go out and you can catch them and tag them. Well, how do you follow them, or how do you monitor them?
There's a bumblebee monitoring transect that you can do, which is once a month, and you walk 1 to 2 kilometre transect and you monitor all bumblebees along the transect, and you'd submit that data to the National Biodiversity Data Centre.
Can you identify which bumblebees are from which nest?
No, people have done it before, but it's kind of like tying a string onto a bumblebee. That's really the best method that we have at the moment.
And can you do that?
Not really.
Do they sting?
So females sting.
Are they prone to stinging? I know like wasps would be more prone to sting than a honeybee, for instance.
No, bumblebees are lovely little creatures. You'd really have to aggravate them.
And will they die when they sting you?
No.
They don't?
No.
It's not like the honeybee?
No, your parents lied to you.
And how did you become interested in the great yellow bumblebee?
So I did my undergrad in UCC in zoology, and there they have a module where they bring guest lecturers in for 4th years on a Friday, and one of the guest lecturers was Dr. Dara Stanley, who gave a lecture on bumblebees. And then when I came to UCD, she was here, and I just said thank you for having such a great lecture. I really enjoyed it, and we kind of got talking then, and she said she had a project up in Mayo on the great yellow.
And that's how it started.
Yeah.
And what can you tell me that you've found out so far?
The bee seems to be habitat-specific to species-rich grasslands and really associated with the red and white clover, birdsfoot trefoil and common knapweed.
And what recommendations would you be making to, say, Mayo County Council?
It would be great to see kind of more wildflower areas planted, and also to the creation of habitats as well for the great yellow around the earthen walls that I mentioned, and building those.
It's a very distinctive bumblebee because it's pretty much all yellow with just one black band in it, whereas most of the bumblebees are black with yellow bands.
Yeah, so they're the more common bumblebees. But yeah, the great yellow is bright yellow, and it's much brighter compared to other yellows of bumblebees.
Yeah. Is there much chance then that they could recolonise other areas in the country, or would you be advising it?
That's one of the really great things about insects, is that once the habitat is there, their populations do explode quite quickly.
So they would probably move in without you having to do it or to help them?
Yeah, once the habitat is there. So we really need to learn how to manage agriculture and also manage biodiversity in kind of a sync. Surprisingly, it's getting more and more common for people to enjoy pollinators and monitor them. And I'm really starting to see now, after growing in the media, and it's really enthusiastic for researchers to see that, and people are positively responding to what we're doing. So because bumblebees are at the base of the food chain, they really have a knock-on effect for the rest of the food chain, insects in general and grasslands and forage and vegetation.
It's been a really nice summer. It must have helped the bumblebees in general.
Yeah, so the more days that bumblebees can get out is really the more forage that they're able to collect, the more pollen that they're able to collect. So they're looking for nice, bright, sunny days.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been studying them all summer.
Yeah.
What's the most unusual thing you've found about them?
One of the quirkiest things I love to see is bumblebees disappearing in under the ground, and people actually don't realise that their nest is in under the ground.
So they just disappear? Gone.
Disappear into a kind of an old rabbit hole.
What do your friends say when you say, I'm going away down to County Mayo for the summer?
They have nominated me as the crazy bumblebee lady, yes.
Now, I haven't actually seen one yet because they are quite rare. We might go and have a little ramble along. I'd love to see one because I've never seen one.
Yeah.
Might have a look for one, see if we can see one before we finish.
Okay, let's go.
Thank you, Terry. That's all we have time for today. More information on our website, rte.ie/Mooneymite. Thanks to all of our contributors today, our researcher, John Riley, and series producer, Anna Leddy. Until next time, goodbye.
And Mooney Goes Wild was presented by Derek Mooney.